Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast half full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Weintraub. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I am very much looking forward to today's guest, special guest indeed, Dan Aykroyd, actor, entrepreneur, spirits company founder, kind of extraordinaire.
Also, you know, somebody who will give you an education in how to make vodka, which is interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, you know, technically. Pays a lot of attention to the actual technical aspect of the trade, which I always like to see personally.
This is more than just a passing fad for him. He's been in the liquor business for years and, you know, looking forward to hearing more about his experiences and some of his stories. He's always always fun to talk to and engaging. Without further ado, here's Dan. Welcome, Dan Aykroyd. Thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, my pleasure. I'm glad to be able to come here and talk to such knowledgeable individuals about beverage alcohol and the sensible, moderate way to consume it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We try.
Not always successfully.
I don't know, man. You got a good rep and a great record, and you do wonderful research, and it's just neat, you know. But bar chef science is a real thing now in hospitality that drops so much to the bottom line of multiple on-premise operators. You find now these star chefs are trying to get bar chefs and star tenders to come in and drive sales into the restaurant, and it's bars that are attracting people into restaurants, pre the virus.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think we'll see whenever it's safe again for all of us to meet up again. If anything, bars are going to be ever more important in cocktails, and you know.
I think we've just spent most of a year building up demand.
That's for sure.
And practicing.
It's pent up.
Practicing our bartending skills. So.
That's for sure.
The last week or so, I was watching the new John Belushi documentary, and things that really struck me was these amazing old photos and footage of you and John, you know, when you opened up the first Blues, you know, bars, you know, and like what I wouldn't give to go to a bar like that right about now.
If I could step in for a second, Dan, I've never met you, but I have stood next to you at a bar.
Oh, which one?
Mickey's.
Oh, sure. Oh, well.
1980.
Well, before or after we owned it?
Before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We did buy that bar. We loved that one because the other one, the first Blues bar in Hudson got taken over. But gentlemen, the quality and sophistication of cocktails served at the two Blues bars would not rise to any standard that you would be knowledgeable of. It was strictly cold cans of beer and, you know, a warm whiskey, and There was no thought there to really make it a great bar. It was just a jukebox and a place to hang afterwards. People would bring their own drinks, you know, champagne occasionally, but we weren't really sophisticated bar chefs back then.
And the jukebox was good, though.
I mean, the jukebox had some of the best R&B and blues on it, and really esoteric, cool hits. And a lot of it is where we sourced the music for the band when we did the movie. And the records, you know, that jukebox was just chock full of obscure hits, Shake a Tail Feather and stuff.
Amazing
that a lot
stuff
of people had not heard from in the mainstream.
I used to go, I lived in a nursing school dormitory at the time. And so I used to go down there with the nurses at about midnight. We'd get into an old station wagon and drive down and dance on the 2-foot square dance floor in front of the jukebox. And that was our, great Tuesday night.
Well, it's, yeah, that those records were great. We could certainly go down a tangent talking about your time with the nursing home dormitory.
Colleges and education.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. We had some dancing partners there anyway.
At least that.
You know, the original blues bars and then like the House of Blues, like how much of that do you think informed, you know, the way that you built your spirits company, Crystal?
A place to go. It was always like a place to go, a place to go back to our place and hang, and a place to be private and a place to enjoy our music and friends. And that's where it really started. And with the House of Blues, it was to celebrate African-American culture, music, the art, the Louisiana cooking, and also a place to go. And of course, along with that came a great bar. And I always had a bar. I had one in the basement near, on the bottom of the coal shuttle in my parents' old house in Ottawa when I was in college. I had a bar at the 505 Queen Street when I was at Second City. None of these were licensed premises. Yeah. And then the two blues bars. So I always had a kind of a bar. It's just a place for people to go. I mean, in the old days was Southern Comfort in the winter in Canada, or Benedictine, those great liqueurs. And I really discovered the hard spirits industry through John Paul DeJoria, who you'll know as the founder of Patron Tequila.
Of course.
That brilliant entrepreneur. And he turned me on to the smoky taste of Patron Tequila at the House of Blues in Los Angeles. I hadn't had great experiences with tequila, and I wanted to get a better margarita on my dock side in the Canadian summer. And we only had two brands to work with that were, you know, standard brands. So after I tasted it, I said, I'd love to bring this to Canada so I can make a better margarita in the summer. And he said, well, you know, you'd have to import it into the country. I said, I'll do that with you. And so we imported my friend David Brown and I, an ex-postie like myself, ex-mailman, and JP, we brought Patron to Canada. Now it's one of the number one luxury selling tequilas in the country. And now Canadians can have what Americans have always had, which is the taste of a superior quality tequila. It's, of course, now Bacardi owns the whole company, and I'm no longer involved with Patron. But it led me to look into other categories, namely vodka. And I started to taste some vodkas and open them up, and a lot of them smelt like Chanel number 10, or they smelt like nothing, or they had a kind of a rough taste or an over viscosity. And I thought, now surely, you know, there must be a way to bring a kind of a, I don't know, maybe a higher industry quality to this. I started to inquire as to why the over viscosity was there. And, oh, well, that's because they add the fusel oils, glycerol and limonene. And oh, yeah, what are they? Well, limonene, of course, in its raw form, it's a caustic citrus oil. And then you know that glycerol is a cousin to antifreeze. I mean, that is true. And so they don't put enough in to hurt you or kill you. And, you know, but I'm thinking, well, what is there a way around using those? So why do they put that stuff in there? They say, oh, they also put sugar in. And I thought, where's the pure spirit? Where you're burying the spirit in all of in this chain of carbon molecules? If you look at limonene, sugar, and the glycerol, why load it up? Can we try to do a pure spirit? So I went sourcing water, which really, to make beautiful vodka, you have to have sweet, good water. And I found that Newfoundland, Canada, had not only the water from the original Wisconsin glacier that melted into the province of Newfoundland. Have you guys been there, Newfoundland?
I've not, actually.
Oh, it's so lovely.
Not since I was a kid, but it's very beautiful.
Yeah. And the water melted in there from the Wisconsin glacier, and it's sitting at the bottom of that rock. They call it the rock. It's 900 feet above the ocean there. And it's that glacial aquifer, the original pool, is sitting right there. And there's a government distillery, the government of the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, Liquor Distillery Corporation, the last state-owned still in the world, that makes whiskeys and other vodkas and that. And we went to them, And the water source was so pure, we began to play around with different formulas without using the fusel oils, mm-hmm. without using fusel and diesel. They're very close. And so, you know, it's a German word. And, you know, and yeah. so we thought, let's do a really pure vodka. How do we do the purest? Well, you can't add glycerol, and you can't add limonene, you can't add sugar if you want pure spirit. We took those out. We began to taste. We began to search around for the proper distillation that wouldn't take out the flavor of our mash. Our corn mash, the original bottle here, that's from Chatham, Ontario. It's the peaches and cream corn that you get in the summer in the mm-hmm. supermarket. And we didn't want to, we found we had a lovely natural viscosity with this. We didn't need to put anything in it. And we didn't want to take out the flavor. So we did a 4x distillation with it, and we find that gets us the notes that we all love: vanilla, sweet, dry, crisp, with a kick of heat off the finish. And it's lovely in a cold shot, or of course with cocktails. And then with the wheat, the Yorkshire wheat, we did the same thing, and we found that we could live without the oils. And this was breaking industry standards. I don't know any other vodka that lives without the oils. I don't really know. I don't talk about other brands, but I know we don't. So we offer the consumer a super clean beverage and offer bar chefs the choice of not having any glycerol, limonene, and sugar in their blank canvas with which to make cocktails.
Or, you know, put it in the freezer and pour out that lovely viscous cold liquid.
Sure. And, you know, our process of distillation doesn't take the flavors out. And then we keep the flavor, and then we do filtrations for super purity. We do an agitated carbon mm-hmm. filtration. That's not blowing the fluid through carbon pads in a sort of a static sense. We agitate the active charcoal. That's about 7 hours. Then we go to a micro mesh array for about, I think, three of those. And then we take the Herkimer diamonds. They're semi-precious crystals on both sides, mm-hmm. And we pour it 3x through them. And we get a minerality added to our beverages that way. And also, at the end of a certain period of time, I mean, the fluid is so pure by the time it hits that diamond cone. What else can come out of it? But sure enough, we have to change those diamonds, get new ones, or clean the ones, because they become, there's a last bit of impurity there. I don't know whether it's psychic impurity or what, but those crystals are drawing something at the end out. And we've won awards with everything. Now we have our new Onyx, which has never been done before. I think you guys might have been reading about it. It's a Blue Weber agave vodka mm-hmm. made with the fibers, the actual agave fibers from Izeta, which was a sub-state of Jalisco. And we do a vodka-style treatment on it. In other words, we do the pot still, two pot stills in one column, to take the temperature up to the legal, proportion of alcohol that you have to have to call mm-hmm. it a vodka, 95%, right? But then we only do the, like two pot stills in one column. So again, we're adding the sweet water and no other additives. So you're getting this, preserving this lovely earthy taste of the agave. It's kind of like a sweet absinthe, really. It smells like it. It tastes like it. Great in cocktails. Bar chefs are loving it. It's really spicy and earthy, and it's never been done. So you're getting sort of the joy of the tequila mash with the vodka treatment to really preserve the agave, like a fluid mm-hmm. that I haven't had in a long time. We call it the piano finish. Steinway. It's a beautiful bottle.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah. Well, obviously you can make vodka from all types of bases. Do you think you'll do other ones after this? Will be, you know, will we see other things? So.
Well, we've got the corn, the Yorkshire wheat, which comes in the mirror finish bottle. I don't mm-hmm. have it here. We've got the Onyx. I don't think we will go to any other source. We like our sources now. And, you know, I mean, there are vodkas made out of rice. Sure. And vodka is made out of grain and dandelion and
milk solids and
sure. But our story will always be about not adding the additives and winning medals. But we just won a medal there, 95 points from Anthony Dias Blues panel in San Francisco there for the Onyx. He's a very credible. You know him, of course, and he's helped our company along because he saw the quality that we were trying to bring to our product. You can't have a success like we have in 70 countries now with, well, you know, millions of bottles sold without having the quality for people to come back and enjoy again and again. That's the key to repeat business is that quality, and that's we really work hard. We take the mash from Chatham, Ontario, we truck it third of the way across Canada. We put it on a ferry boat for 9 hours to go to the distillery. We put it through the whole process. It goes into the boxes, the bottle. Then we put it on crates, ship it back into the market, Ontario, around the world. For the Yorkshire wheat, it comes over in a bulk container, the mash, and it comes over, and we ship it there and ship it back. So we really work hard to bring the consumer a great experience that we have figured out. With the corn and the wheat, it costs you about $1.32 per cocktail with 2.5 ounces than any other premium brand. So we're not that much above the other premium brands, but we are, you know, we are confident, you know, that people will pay for a luxury experience that they can afford, and God knows they deserve it.
Anthony is one of the bravest people I've ever met since we were both supposed to have lunch years ago in New Orleans at Commander's Palace with T. Martin, one of the owners, and Anthony showed up. I think he was wearing shorts and sandals. And they said, no, like, no, thank you. You go back to your room, come back, change, and then you can have lunch. And he did. But I thought it took a lot of courage to show up there not wearing pants.
We know Commander's Palace has one of the strictest you know, dress codes in the world. I remember showing up when we were opening House of Blues with about 15 of my, you know, motorcycle escort with the Harleys and our robes that we wear with the House of Blues on there. And you know what? We got a concession that day, I think, because the tab was going to be so big.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can be sure there were multi cocktails consumed then.
Yeah, thank
you. I mean, they're strict, but they are business people.
No, that's true. That's true. But they let me come in that day. I guess because we all had ties on.
Yeah.
That's
for sure. One of the last times I was in New Orleans, T was hosting this culinary festival, and she sent police to get me at the airport and escort me with motorcycles, which was
cool.
Drinks writers don't usually get that treatment, I have to say. Probably used to that all the time, but
I wonder how Commander's is doing. And although I love New Orleans, of course, we have a beautiful House of Blues there. You know, we have 3,000 people that are now furloughed, and it's just I can't wait to get back to open the venues up. You know, we are big fans, all three of us here, of the hospitality industry, and we know how hard those people work to make a great experience. It's entertainment from the manager, from the owner manager, right down through waiters, waitresses, hostesses, bar chefs, you know, back bar people. There's a whole feeling that we've been able to create at House of Blues, a feeling of a willingness to work there and a willingness to engage with the public. And where do you work? House of Blues. And anybody that works there, from the person that parks the car to the executives, you mention, you say, well, I work for House of Blues, people's eyes widen and go, wow, a cool place to work. And so I pray for a wonderful return, and we'll ignite them all and get them all going once we're past this, you know.
I pray the year will end, you know, it will start slowly and then end as a giant party for the last 8 months of the year.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
You think all of your years, you know, like on SNL and before that, you know, all the different comedy projects and movies helped you kind of create like a more engaging and theatrical, you know, approach to like your bars and all the different ventures that you do?
Oh, no doubt. You're an entertainer, man. You know, I worked the door at all the House of Blues. Whenever I was there in Chicago, I would welcome busloads of Korean tourists. I would on Sunset Boulevard on our club, I would go right out, present myself, and you know, as Preston Sturgis did with his club you know, in Hollywood there, the Players Club, and there were many other you know, people who just held court in clubs that were of you know, of that came from movies and had have a place to hang. And so I welcome people from the front door, and I worked I worked hard to make those places a success, and on the front line, absolutely. And of course, you're presenting and you're hosting, but some of the amazing nights of music. James Brown, I got to jam with James Brown. I got to jam with Little Richard. I play with him.
Phenomenal.
You know, one night Prince played all three floors, and, you know, I was able to walk around and make sure everybody got what they needed.
Wow.
And that was amazing in L.A. We had, so many wonderful Fantastic. Nights, you know. Yeah. James Brown opened 5-6 clubs for us, yeah, with me, and, boy, those were beautiful nights.
That's a true original.
No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, nobody worked harder than him, so.
Yeah, no, those were great, great nights, yeah. And, of course, a big part of House of Blues are the bars, and especially the one in L.A. It's gone now, but I don't know, had you ever been there when it split open and used to, the room would be closed, you'd be in the concert hall, you'd look up and kind of see a closed balcony, a faux balcony, and then the music would start and the bar would open like this. To the bar above, so the people above could look down onto the show hall.
Amazing.
And the people down could look up at the bar. And I remember the night we opened in L.A., I stopped everybody with the sheriffs. It was my guest list. There were no cameras. There's not a picture of that night. No cameras, no video, nothing, no press, no reporters, no journalism. I wrote a letter to all of the people in town who ran Hollywood at that time. I said, if you want to come for a night for us, you know, come, and I screened every car coming in, stopped photographers and all that. You know, the sheriffs helped me to do that. And, you know, we let everybody in, and the evening started with Spielberg on one side and George Lucas, or Katzenberg on the other side, each one holding my arm there. I was like, camaraderie, let's have a drink. And I said, hold my arm. They, okay, right. They didn't know why. And then I gave the signal, and the bar opened like this. And we both rode the bar opening as John Fogerty played for the first time in decades.
Wow.
Susie Q. He played his music. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, the memorable nights were, memorable sights that night was Clint Eastwood in the middle of the floor, you know, just swinging two bottles at a bottle at a time. It was a beautiful night. Beautiful night. Yeah. Lots of
Phenomenal.
Great music. And the bars were so contingent to our success. We broke some great brands there. Yeah, yeah. And I discovered Patron in a House of Blues, which led me to where I am today, talking to you.
I've always heard the story that, like, when John Paul, like, you know, asked you to do the Canadian distribution, that, like he kind of, I don't want to say like tricked you into doing it, but kind of asked you and then sort of announced it like a second later. Is that true? Like at a big party?
Oh, he was behind it from the very beginning. Of course, I said to him, I said, I just want to bring it to my little government liquor store in my village near where I have my summer place, so I can just have a better margarita. Well, he said, you got to bring it to the whole country, Dan. So let's, you know, and then, a minute later, you know, it was, here's our new importer for, you know, that's the way JP is, you know, always supporting his friends, loving his friends, about friendship, making success happen for the people that he loves. And I was glad to make it a success for him. And we did contribute to their foreign sales substantially. And hopefully it helped when, got the number that he did when he sold to Bacardi. I wanted to, you know, pay him back, and I think I did.
Quite a story. Do you think that you'd ever do more, more clubs or restaurants or bars?
We have, on the blueprints, we have blueprints for going with House of Blues to Nashville, to Paris, to London, to Berlin, to St. Petersburg, to Prague. But right now everything is totally frozen, and the model would be, we'd find local, you know, investors there that want a House of Blues in their town, and we'd bring them, and we'd license it for them to do it. Mm-hmm. Live Nation is the parent company. And, of course, again, the health of the concert business, is ready to revive and move like a rocket once this thing is over, man. Wait, talk about bars. How about concerts? Yeah. And ticket events and sporting events, you know, it's just the world is going to come out after this, and it's so going to be so good for hospitality. And I got a message for everybody that goes back to a sporting event, goes back to a restaurant, goes back to a bar, goes back to a nightclub, or any public event or a concert. Tip your servers well. Very well. Tip your servers well. Keep in mind what they've lost, you know. So add some zeros to those tips. And I know people in my industry are doing it, and also sports stars and anybody of note, any of the greats out there, always give back. And so the $1,000 tips are coming.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Onyx is available all over with the, you know, the great, I love working with the state agencies, the Ohio Liquor Control Authority, the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. Those supermarkets are wonderful. We have, of course, Total Wine and Beverages and More and Yankee Spirits there up in New England, and all of our great associates from all over selling the product and really having fun with it. So the Onyx is out there, and we will be we'll doing our Pride. Our Pride is coming out again in June to celebrate diversity. And
love that.
We embrace, you know, we embrace all. We are a Canadian-made vodka, and this has had that community embrace us, because we're not made by countries that compromise gay rights for LGBTQ 2S people now, two-spirit people. And so we celebrate that, and we have a great constituency. I just went to Boys Town in Chicago last year and did an education session, and they serve gallons of this on a Sunday where they pump it up from the basement. They serve it in a kind of a beautiful Sunday punch, and boy, it's delicious. And again, with Crystal Head, when you serve Crystal Head, any of our products, you're going to have that alcohol's pure spirit creep up over whatever mix you are using. It's just, you know, it's just that we make our beverage. We're not afraid of our alcohol scent and our alcohol taste. And it is the bar chef's clean slate and virgin canvas. Yeah. I'd love to go to the Iron Horse down there in Lower Manhattan with you guys and sit. And they used the head there for years from our very beginning. And it's a great supporter of the head. And I'd love to have a drink with you guys when this is all over.
Absolutely.
Please.
First round's on us. Drink quarters for the jukebox.
Yeah.
Indeed. Take care.
You too. Cheers.
Dave and I encourage you to drink responsibly always.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.